Now we're going to go back to Mark chapter 5 and to that passage that we read. So Mark chapter 5, and last week I began to think about the few occasions in the New Testament where instead of us reading a translation of what Jesus did and said, we actually read the very words that Jesus used. And last week we were thinking about Jesus healing the mute and deaf man, and how he uses that word, ephatha, be opened. It's a word in the language that was the common language of Jesus' day, the Aramaic language. And we come back to Mark's Gospel again. Verse 41 of chapter 5 is another occasion where, for whatever reason, the writer has preserved for us the very words that Jesus used. He took this dead girl by the hand and said to her, Talitha, little girl, kum, get up. And immediately the girl stood up and walked around. At this they were completely astonished, it says. Talitha, kum. So we're coming again to a passage where Jesus' very words are echoing down through the centuries to reach us tonight. So we can hear him tonight. We can actually hear what he said in this wonderful scene. And tonight I'm going to consider very simply three things out of this passage. I want to think about emotion, I want to think about submission, and I want to think about salvation. So three things, very simply. Emotion. We heard this week, probably with very heavy hearts, I'm sure, about a tragic accident near Oban. A car went into a loch, and the woman who was driving the car managed to escape out of the car, leaving a 3-year-old girl and a 2-year-old boy still trapped in the car. The passers-by who were called to help tried to dive down to reach the car and to rescue the children, but the car was submerged so deep in peaty water and they couldn't even see what it was. And then the emergency services eventually came and continued the rescue, to no avail, sadly. And we read about that in the paper, or we hear about it in the news, and it's absolutely impossible for us to really understand the depth of emotion that must have existed at that point. The depth of the emotion of the woman in the car, I don't know if she was the mother of the children or not, but the depth of emotion, and of the people trying to rescue, the frantic efforts. And that's what we have here in this story, this kind of depth of emotion. A depth of emotion which we read about in verse 22 and 23. Jairus, the synagogue ruler, seeing Jesus, he falls at Jesus' feet. He pleads earnestly with them. My little daughter is dying, he says. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. Jairus, he's a pillar of the community. He's a ruler of the synagogue. He's a man of great dignity. But he casts aside that dignity. Dignity means nothing at this point. All that he can think about is this daughter upon whom he dotes. This daughter he loves, and she's dying, and he can't do anything about it. And is there anyone who can help? And Jesus is there, and he hears that Jesus can help, and will he please come and help? There's still a bit of breath in the girl. Can you come while she still lives and save her? Emotion. What would have to happen in your life for you to feel the depth of emotion that is found here. Perhaps someone you love deeply would have to have some desperate need. A desperate need which you yourself couldn't meet, but maybe you would find someone you thought could help, and you'd go to them like Jairus, interrupting whatever they were doing and just pleading with them. And no one would blame you for it, because of the desperate need, because of your love, which drove you to take any measure whatever you thought would help. Well, I hope none of us ever have to be in this situation. And such depth of emotion comes along very, very rarely in our lives, thankfully. But there's something that troubles Jesus here. It's not simply the need he sees of a man pleading for his dying daughter. It's the need he sees of a man and his wife and his daughter and the community to which he belongs. The need of these people for salvation. That they are in a far more perilous situation than the daughter is in. In that without Jesus, without receiving Jesus, they have to go and face God carrying their own sins. And so in verse 43, he does exactly the same thing at the end of the story as he did at the end of the story last week, which we looked at. He tells them not to tell anyone what's happened. And you think, this is so strange. Why would Jesus not want everyone to know what he can do to heal a dying girl or to raise a dead girl? Why would he not want people to know that? And the reason is, because Jesus doesn't want simply to be ministering to the physical needs of people, because their spiritual needs are greater. What they need to hear is about salvation. They need to hear that their sins need to be forgiven, and that Jesus is the way through which they will be forgiven, but that they must receive him. Because it's not just Jairus' daughter who is dead in the story, but everyone is dead in the story. Jairus' father and mother, the daughter's father and mother are dead. The people in the crowd are dead. Without Jesus, they're dead. And their need is so great because Judgment Day is looming, and they're carrying their sins. And that ought to stir emotion, even greater emotion than the perilously grave illness of the girl. It ought to bring us to Jesus' feet, that we too, like Jairus, would plead earnestly for ourselves, for our daughters, for our sons, for our parents, for our brothers, for our sisters, for our neighbours, for our colleagues, for our friends. Deep emotion is not just something we can show when physical sickness presents or when death occurs. Deep emotion is something we ought to have for the spiritual needs. And that's what Jesus is concerned about more. Yes, he will heal. Yes, he will raise the dead. But he's here to teach people that the way to God is through him. And they need to come to God through him. And if there's anything that they really need to get emotional about, it is their spiritual condition and situation, so long as they are without Jesus. And it's something that we need to take seriously too. It's always a time for deep emotion. People are plunging over the edge into eternity all the time. People are living at the edge of the precipice all the time. and they don't know at what point the perilous path on which they walk will give way and they will fall into God's judgment without Christ. There is a place for strong emotion all the time. Submission is the second thing. Submission. The crowd is making painfully slow progress towards Jairus' home. And not only that, it's delayed by another healing. And this woman doesn't seem to be in anything like as desperate a need. After all, she's been 12 years in the same condition. Surely she can wait a bit longer. Jairus must be beside himself with worry and with a sense of the urgency of his situation. Can't Jesus hurry up? Does he wonder if Jesus even cares? My daughter, you can come back for this woman. My daughter. Sometimes in our lives we face very intense tests to our faith. Tests to show us what our faith is in. See, Jesus has complete faith in the situation. He knows his Father in heaven has everything under control, and his Father in heaven will lead him in perfect timing to be at Jairus' house at the right moment. And Jesus is completely calm in the situation. But Jairus is not calm. He is beside himself. And then the news comes in verse 35. Your daughter is dead. Nothing is said about Jairus' reaction. We can guess what it might have been like. But is there any hope now? Is there any point now in Jesus coming? The people who bring the news don't seem to think so. Why bother the teacher anymore? What is Jairus going to do now? Will he cling to the hope that the people that have brought the news are perhaps mistaken? Perhaps this is some cruel joke. Or will he cling to Jesus' words? Because Jesus immediately told Jairus, verse 36, don't be afraid. Just believe. What will Jairus do? Is he going to be at peace because Jesus has said, don't be afraid, just believe? Is he going to trust Jesus? Or is he going to continue to be absolutely beside himself? Doesn't really tell us. I imagine Jairus, however, is numb. He can hardly function in the situation. He's overwhelmed with the emergency. Sometimes in a situation like that, we need other people to take control. We need other people to take charge, and we're always glad when relatives and friends come round to help us because we are so upset. And who takes charge in this situation? Well, Jesus takes charge. Jairus submits to Jesus leading. What a great thing to do. Who do we submit to when we are deeply disturbed because of the urgency and the upset of a situation? Well, family may come in, friends may come round, professional people may step in, the undertaker if it's been a bereavement. But what about Jesus? What about hearing Jesus' words? Don't be afraid. Only believe. These are words that are relevant in every situation of upset. Don't be afraid. Only believe. And our minds are upset with all kinds of contrary thoughts and troubled thoughts and loose ends and questions. Jesus just says, don't be afraid. only believe. Trust him. Because in the crisis here, in every crisis and in our crisis, Jesus is steady. Jesus is calm. Ignoring what they said, it says in verse 36. Don't be afraid. I know what I'm doing. Receive me. Submit to me. Follow me. Don't leave him out. That's what people so sadly often do when they are discomforted by their trials and upsets. People even who seem to have a Christian faith, when it all falls apart, they fall apart and their faith falls apart. But why? Surely the first place to which we should turn, the first person to whom we should turn is Jesus. I remember many years ago the Reverend Donald Beaton telling me that he had been at a very sad burial up in Kintail. We're talking 20 years ago when there was the what was called the New Age Travellers Camp at Inverinet. And there had been a fire, and tragically a baby had died in the fire in a tent at this camp. And the parents were burying the baby, and they were doing it without any kind of religious ceremony. They just had friends round, and the grave was opened, and the little coffin was let down into the grave, and everyone stood back and looked at each other, and no one knew what to say. They'd forgotten something. They'd left something out. They'd left Jesus out. And so the father turned to Donald, who was just attending us, an onlooker, a sympathetic onlooker, and said, "Will you pray?" And Donald stepped forward and led that tragedy-struck family in prayer. Now, whatever their faith was as a family, I don't know the fullness of the story. But the fact was that here they were in this time of the most intense and tragic emotion. And whatever they were trusting in, it hadn't been Jesus. But as they stood there, they felt that. Donald was there, and they asked him to pray. Why wait until that point, though? Why would we wait until Jesus is our last resort? Jesus should be our first resort. When things are good and when things are bad, when times are calm and when times are troubled, Jesus should be our first resort. In these days, people do turn to more and more unhelpful places. At least in the past, in these communities, people tended to turn to the church, even if they weren't particularly religious themselves. But these days, they'll bring in interfaith ministers, they'll bring in humanists, they'll not even have a service at all. What a tragedy when the Son of God is steady in the crisis, able to calm, able to help, able to say to us, "Don't be afraid, only believe." Jairus submits to Jesus, lets Jesus take charge in the situation, because Jesus is the only one who appears to know what he's doing. And then we come finally to salvation. I'm not sure exactly what Jairus is expecting Jesus to do. His daughter is dead, and by the time he gets there, it's well and truly verified. The mourners are in full expression of their grief, and There's wailing and there's commotion and there's no doubt about what has happened. And probably his wife runs out to meet him and imparts the sad news herself. And trembling, they go back in, and Jesus, in charge, sends everyone out, takes with him Peter, James and John, and Jairus and his wife, and they go in to where the little girl is. Jesus seems to know what he's doing. But then he seems to make some terribly insensitive mistakes. Verse 39. Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. And it says they laughed at him. That's a very insensitive thing for Jesus to say, surely. And then in verse 41, he takes her by the hand and he says, little girl, get up. He says, Talitha, cum. Surely that's only going to add to the loss. Doesn't Jesus realize she's dead? Talitha, cum, seems so insensitive. Just seems to add cruelty to the pain and suffering of loss which the parents have already. But that's what Jesus said. That's actually what he said. Talitha, cum, little girl, get up. Why is it that, again, Mark tells us the very words that Jesus said, and then, of course, gives them in translation, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Why does he give us the very words? Well, first thing is, it is actually what Jesus said. So put your ear in and hear the very words that rolled off the lips of Jesus. I find that tremendously exciting. Not only that, of course, Mark's gospel, as I laboured on when we were going through the gospel, is an eyewitness account supplied by Peter. This is Peter's eyewitness account. Remember, Peter's there. Verse 37, he gets to go in with Jesus to the room. And surely this was one of the most astonishing things that Peter ever saw, that was imprinted upon his mind with a crystal clarity. Peter might forget many things, but he could never forget hearing the words, Talitha, cum. And for a moment just wondering what on earth Jesus was doing, until suddenly this girl revivifies, comes to life, sits up, gets up, starts walking around. And it says at the end of verse 42, they, Jairus and his wife and Peter and James and John, they were completely astonished. So much so, you can imagine, that above even the joy that Jairus and his wife have that their daughter is living again, is the astonishment that she is living again, that a dead person has come to life. And literally what it says at the end of verse 42 is just, they were amazed with a great amazement. They were struck dumb. There's another intense emotion in, but this time it's an intense emotion for a positive reason. Talitha, cum. And the dead girl lives. Oh, it won't work for you or for me. Remember, these words are not some kind of magic formula, not some kind of secret spiritual trick. These words have the power because of who speaks them. Jesus, the Son of God. Talitha, cum. And a dead girl lives. It is absolutely essential for you and for me to believe that Jesus raises the dead. If we don't believe that, we have nothing. If we don't believe that Jesus has the power to raise the dead, we have absolutely nothing. There is no Christian faith without that. It's central to our Christian faith. Talitha, come, and a dead girl lives. Talitha, come, and a dead soul lives. A soul dead in trespasses and sins lives by the power of Jesus. Jesus raises those who are dead in sin. In our community, we, like Jairus, go to Jesus and we call to him and we plead with him and we say, Jesus, will you come to the people of the community, my friends, my family, my workmates, will you raise them from the dead, please? Just say the word, Jesus. Talitha, come, you can raise the dead. Without Jesus' power to raise the dead, none of us will live. None of us will have eternal life. None of us has any future. Because we need Jesus to say it again. We need him to say the word come again, the word arise again. Because we're told, and we sang about it a minute ago, that on the day of judgment, Jesus will come to the earth and he will raise the dead. They won't be lying in a bed in a room. There'll be dust spread to the four corners of the earth. But out of that dust, he will raise the dead. Talitha, come. The same Jesus will speak the word, and the dead will be raised. That's our confidence. When you think about death, hear the word of Jesus here. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Talitha, come. He will raise the dead. The dead in Christ shall be raised, as we saw. Jesus has that power. Salvation. The power to make the dead live. To make the dead soul live. To make the dead body live. Why then will we not feel emotion like Jairus? The emotion of seeing the plight of people who remain dead. Dead in sin. Dead without Christ. But knowing that we can go to Jesus and ask him to come and to raise them from the dead and to give them life. So, my friends, we ought to be in prayer for our community. Continuously. More and more, that Jesus will raise the dead. And we ought at the same time to trust completely and to submit to Jesus, who knows what he's doing and who says to us, as we think about death, as we think about all the things that we may otherwise be desperately afraid to face, who says to us, don't be afraid. Only believe. Because we trust this Jesus who can say to a dead girl, Talitha, come. And who can say to anyone in this community, come, get up, live. And they will. God help us. Amen.